Well, it's good to see you out again tonight. I was talking to some of the young folks this morning, and you know they sit up here in the first three or four rows, and I was saying that one of them was telling me that when I'm preaching, I can see directly, and see them pretty easily. And I tell them, well, I really don't see people in front. I'm looking out over the auditorium like that, and I told them, I said, so that means that this morning y'all can go ahead and take a snooze if you want to during the message. And they were slumbering peacefully this morning during the message, and I'm kidding, folks. I pick on them. Well, they pick on me, so I got to pick on them back. But it's good to see you tonight. And we're going to continue our study in Matthew chapter 7. Verses 15 through 29 tonight. This is an interesting chapter. I hope that you and I can, as we study this, again, emphasize what we said this morning, that we can take the spiritual truths in this chapter and apply them to our lives as believers, as God's people. And I believe that's what God wants. God wants consistency from us. He wants obedience to His Word from us. I know a lot of Christians, just like you do, who have a great deal of knowledge of Scripture. They know the Word of God 10 times better than I do. But at some point in their lives, you can tell that there's very little obedience there. And we want to have knowledge coupled with obedience. That's what our Savior wants. And that's what we should have, to be more consistent. And I'm in the same boat you are. I need to do that also. So let's read together, starting at verse 15, Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. First of all, in verses 15 through 20, we see the Lord here giving an exposition on false prophets, false teaching, and true teaching. He makes a point in verse 15, if you notice the first word there in verse 15, the Lord Jesus makes a point of saying that word, beware. Be on the lookout for, be watchful of false prophets. And in the Old Testament, we understand, if you go back and read the Old Testament scriptures, you'll find out that there were false prophets in Israel. When God gave a prophecy to one of his prophets, And of course, if it was God, the prophecy, if it was of God, the prophecy was true. If the prophecy was not true, that prophet that gave it was found to be false. He was taken out and stoned to death in the Old Testament. That's how the Israelites dealt with false prophets. We don't take false prophets out and stone them today. And sometimes I wish we could, because of all the things. If you watch certain programs on TV, listen to certain programs on the radio, and if you talk to people read their material. You just shake your head and you read that stuff and you shake your head and say, how can people possibly believe all this stuff? They're being led astray so easily. And you know, it's unfortunate that the people of God, true born-again believers in Jesus Christ, can be led astray by false prophets. We here at Northgate Chapel, we would say, well, you know, that'll never happen to us here at Northgate. Why, everybody here knows the Scriptures. We understand what the Word of God teaches. But, you know, we can't afford to be complacent, beloved. You know, the Lord Jesus is saying in verse 15, he says, beware. Be on the lookout. Be watchful for false prophets. And he mentions the fact in verse 15, he said, that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening or ravenous wolves. You know, if you ever look at or made a study of wolves, you'll know that they're predators. There's nothing worse for an animal than to have a hungry wolf after them. And they'll kill any four-legged whatever animal they can get their fangs into. And the wolves are like that. False prophets are like that. False prophets will appear to be one of us. They will appear to be true believers in Jesus Christ. But the Lord says in verse 15 that they come in sheep's clothing. They come disguised to the people of God. That's why they're so dangerous. That's why the Lord Jesus said in verse 15, beware, beware, be watchful of false prophets. And there's another passage in the Scriptures we should take a look at in Acts chapter 20. Let's turn to Acts 20 for a few minutes. Verses 28 through 31. The Apostle Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders here. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul is talking to the elders here in Ephesus, and all these men are just like him. They're saved men. They're leaders in that local church in Ephesus. They're leaders of the flock of God in that local community. And Paul is telling them, take heed. Be watchful. Beware. There's going to be false teachers who will attempt to lead astray the people of God. They'll be like grievous wolves. That word grievous can also be rendered savage. They're savage wolves. That's the way the false teachers are in reality. That's the way the false prophets are in reality. They are like savage predator wolves. And in in one of the verses there, and he says that they will teach verse 30, they will speak perverse things. That word perverse can be rendered distorted or twisted things. These false teachers and false prophets will attempt to distort and to twist the Word of God in order to draw away people, that is, the Lord's people, to them. To draw them away from God, obedience to God, and to them, to the false teachers. And Paul is talking about attacks from outside the church. There will be false teachers and false prophets who will be attempting to infiltrate the church of God. That's been going on for thousands of years. Since the New Testament times. There will be false prophets who will come, who will be from defect from inside the church also. Paul says, from your own selves. That is, leaders in the church will attempt to lead people astray by their false teaching. Can you believe that? Leaders, people who are recognized and understood to be leaders among believers in Jesus Christ, they will lead the people of God astray. Beloved, we have to be careful. We have to watch. We have to, as the Lord Jesus says, we have to beware of false prophets and false teaching. And the Lord Jesus, in going back to Matthew 7, uses the illustration of the fruit of a tree, a good fruit versus bad fruit or evil fruit. And he says that in verse 19, he says, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is chopped down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. We understand that we can recognize false teachers and false prophets by the fruits of their lives, by the fruits of their teaching. It's interesting that the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, we're not going to go back there and read that because it's going to, I guess we have time, but I don't want to do that. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter gives a description, some descriptive words and phrases that describe false teachers and false prophets. He says this. He says, they walk after the flesh. They despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, natural brute beasts, revel in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, eyes full of adultery, cannot cease from sin, trained with covetous practices, cursed children, forsaken the right way, gone astray, wells without water, speaking great swelling words of vanity. Do you get the picture of what Peter is trying to describe here, these false teachers? The Apostle Jude, in his epistle, lists these words and phrases to describe false prophets and false teachers. Jude says they are filthy dreamers, they despise authority, speak evil of dignitaries, speak evil of things they know nothing about, brute beasts having corrupted themselves, gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam, spots in your love feasts, clouds without water, trees with rotten fruit. How appropriate that is. Trees without with rotten fruit. These are the false prophets, and this is how we recognize false teaching and false prophet. I will think that everybody here in this auditorium tonight can spot a false teacher, a false prophet. But there are millions of Christians over the world and in this country who are unable to do that. They don't read the Word of God. They don't understand the spiritual truths found in the Scriptures. They can be led astray. And beloved, if you think you know the Word of God well, that you can recognize a false teacher and a false prophet, and you say that you'll never be led astray, think again. Think again. It can happen. It can happen to me, and it can happen to you. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ says, beware, beware of false prophets. And, you know, I recall some years ago watching a TV preacher in the morning on TV. I'd watch him a few minutes before I went to work. And he was from Dallas, Texas. And one of his things that he liked to do, he loved to do on TV, he said, if you send in $100 to this ministry, God will multiply it to $1,000. If you send in $1,000 to this ministry, why, God will multiply that to $10,000 to you. You send us $10,000 to this ministry, why, God will multiply that to $100,000. And people sent him millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars every year to this man. He would sit there with the Bible in his hand, and he would teach false, twisted, distorted doctrine from the Word of God. It was so obvious to me. I could tell that. But, you know, there are people out there. Now, we can argue, we can debate whether these people that sent him money were really saved or Christians or not. Some of them probably weren't. Some of them probably were. And they would send him millions of dollars. And, you know, one of the things that was so sad about this is that he was exposed eventually. But he wasn't exposed by other Christians. He was exposed by the secular media. They did a news story on him, had it on one of these news magazine TV programs. He had this incredible house. He didn't have a house. He had a mansion he lived in. He had all these expensive cars, diamond jewelry. And he lived like a king. And, of course, he was in violation of a number of laws. He was eventually shut down. I don't know if the Internal Revenue Service did it or somebody. But anyway, the people quit sending him money. His ministry, so-called ministry, dried up. I was kind of glad to see that. I was glad to see him exposed. I wish that other Christians would expose him instead of the secular media, but that's the way it was. This man was a false teacher. He was a false preacher. He was leading the people of God astray. He was taking millions of dollars from them. How sad it was to see the people of God send their money in to this man, to this wolf. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing, exactly what he was. And it was sad to see that. And there's so many of them out there. He's just one. There are dozens of false teachers and preachers in the media. There are hundreds, maybe even thousands, preaching in churches now in this country alone. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to beware. We've got to watch out for false prophets and false teachers. Now, in verses 21 through 23, we see the doom of the false teachers or false professors here. The Lord Jesus says in verse 21, he said, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." You know, here we have possibly the false teachers or false professors. These are the phony, fake, so-called Christians. These people, they look like Christians. They act like Christians. They sound like Christians. They use the same vocabulary as Christians. And they talk about Jesus, they talk about God, they talk about the Bible, they quote Bible verses, but they're not saved. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And these people, unfortunately, these false professors are deluded. We see in verse 22, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, you know, haven't we prophesied in your name, Lord? Haven't we done many miracles in your name?" In verse 22, "Haven't we cast out demons in your name?" Well, Lord, we use the name of Jesus Christ to cast out all these demons, to perform all these miracles. And Lord, we were like you. We followed you. And the Lord will look down at them in verse 23. He will say, "I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, those who practice iniquity or those who practice lawlessness." You know, there are people who want to get into the kingdom of heaven, but they want to enter by their own works, don't they? Because these people are saying, "We prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we did many wonderful miracles in your name." And, you know, people, we look at people on the outside, we look at the outward appearance. We see all these things and we think, well, these are genuine, believable Christians. These must be real born-again people. But the Lord Jesus says, no, they're not. Just because they use my name and do all these wonderful works doesn't mean that they belong to Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I never knew you. If we go back up to verse 21, we'll see that he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's the key. Beloved, that's the key to the false professors. You know, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're in proper fellowship with the Lord, want to do the will of God. They want to obey God. We have a desire to obey God. The false professors say, oh yes, I've done all these wonderful works in your name, Lord, but they don't want to obey God. They do not do the will of the Father, if you see that. And we see the final doom in verse 23 of the false professors. We see that the Lord will say, "Yeah, I never knew you. I never knew you. You were never mine. You never belonged to me. You never belonged to me." How sad, how tragic that people have deluded themselves into believing that they're true believers in Jesus Christ, and they're not. They're not. You know? And we have to be careful who we talk to. You know, I've run across people over the years, I'm sure you have. They pray before every meal. You see them reading the Bible. You talk to them, and, you know, they use vocabulary similar to us, the same language, the same lingo that we use as believers. You know, the Lord this, the Lord that, the Lord does this, the Lord does that. And we come to find out that these people are living in a wicked and ungodly lifestyle. They're not born again. They're not regenerated by the Spirit of God. They are deluded in their minds to think that they are true believers in Jesus Christ, and they're not. And the Lord will say to them on the great day of judgment, I never knew you. Never. Depart from me into the lake of fire. And we see in verses, if we move on, to verses 24 through 27, we see the Lord presenting the parable here of the two builders and the two foundations. And he uses the In the parable, he uses a descriptive illustration of the wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man, of course, builds his house upon the sand. You ever try to build a house on sand? You know, you're in for a big disappointment if you build a house on sand and without any concrete foundation. Boy, when that rain comes and that wind comes, that house is not going to last very long. It's going to collapse eventually. You know, if you're going to build a house, you've got to put it on a concrete foundation. If you want to build a building, you've got to make sure that it's solid. The foundation is solid. And if you build your house on the sand, it's going to fall eventually. It'll fall. And I think we have to reflect. One of the things that you and I as God's people should reflect on tonight, what are we building as the foundation for our lives? Are we building our lives on the solid rock of Christ, or are we building our lives on sand? If we build our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be standing with Him. If we build our lives on sand, we'll fall. You know, the world considers a wise man or a wise woman to be somebody who lives their life by what they see, by sight, who lives for the present, who lives for self. The Lord Jesus considers that person a fool. A person who believes that, who lives their life like that, is a fool in the Lord's eyes. He's building his life on a sand, on the foundation of sand, something that will not hold up. And you know, it's sad to say that there are some of God's people, and they're probably not here tonight, they're building their lives on sand. They're following the precepts of the world. They think that the enchantments and the allure of the world is where they ought to be. They're building their lives on sand. And they will find out in a coming day, if not in this life, in the next life to come, that they've wasted their time, they've wasted their many years of building a life on the things of the world instead of the things of God. And we have to be careful that we don't have an attitude similar to that in our thinking. You and I could enter into that trap as well. We can say, well, you know, I come to Northgate Chapel here every Sunday. You know, and I occasionally read my Bible. I occasionally pray. And, you know, I do some worldly things and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, but God doesn't mind too much. You know, that's a trap for us, beloved. We've got to be careful about how we build our lives. And in the non-Christian world, when the storms of life come, and they will come, the unsaved in the world, they have nothing to hold on to. The only thing they've got is sand, because that's where they built their lives. They've built their lives on sand. Their lives will collapse eventually without Christ. And if we build our lives on the Savior, on His truth, on His Word, we're building our lives on the solid rock. On the solid rock. And, you know, as God's people, we stray from God. We get off on the wrong track occasionally, and the Lord will bring us back by using various means and methods of doing that. He'll get us back on the right track, and we'll get back in obedient fellowship with the Lord like we should be. We all stray. We all get off the off the track every now and then. I do that. You do that. But as long as we're building our lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, you know, we'll have something to hang on to when those storms hit us, and they will hit you. You've probably gone through more storms than I have. I've gone through a few in my life. But I know that you've probably gone through a lot more than I have, some of you. The only thing that kept us going through that time is our faith and the fact that we could hold on to the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sometimes He's the only thing we had. Sometimes there was nothing else we could depend on. We could ask for prayer, ask God's people, please pray for me. We could do that. We could seek counsel. We could seek guidance. But when you get right down to it, you have to hang on to the rock, brother, sister in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our rock. We need to build our lives on Him and hang on to Him. Hang on to Him when the tough times come. And in verses 28 through 29, the final two verses of this chapter, we see that in verse 28, when it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine or teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The people were amazed at the teaching of our Savior. They were astonished. They just couldn't believe it. After they heard the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The scribes' teaching was powerless as far as the people were concerned. But the Lord Jesus' teaching, it was authoritative. It was illuminating. It was powerful. These words in Matthew 7 are not just some people's thoughts. These are the very words of our Savior in Matthew 7. That's what made them powerful and provocative and illuminating. And think of the one who taught them, the perfect, flawless Son of God. These were the words that were coming out of his mouth, that came from the lips of him, of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. They were his words. And there's a verse in the Psalms that says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And you know, that's our Savior, isn't he? He is a lamp and a light for the people of God. And we can always depend upon him. We can build our lives on the rock of Christ. And the Lord Jesus is not only our Savior, he's our example. We can look to him. We can look to his example. We can study his words and his thoughts in the Word of God. And we can build our lives on the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe that's what he wants each one of us to do, is to continue. Everybody, I think, in this auditorium tonight, I would think, is an obedient Christian. But God wants us to continue on. He wants us to finish well. He wants us as God's people to continue in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't get sidetracked. Don't go off into the things and pursuits of the world. He wants you and I, as God's people, to build our lives on that rough, solid rock. And that rock is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can follow him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for instructing us and teaching us from your word tonight. We think of these precious truths and these words, Heavenly Father, how wonderful they are. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we will be obedient to your word. We pray, Lord, that you will not only illuminate our minds and our hearts, but you will help us to continue to obey the word of God, and that we may glorify and exalt that most wonderful person, that most wonderful of all persons, the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands tonight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to guide and direct the saints here at Northgate Chapel, that we will be a beacon of light to the people of the world, that they will see the love that we have for them and understand that Jesus Christ resides in our hearts and he is in our lives. We just give you praise, thanksgiving for the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his holy name.